Amplify, Creatives of Color Podcast Network.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Pearls of Blackness, Pearls of Wisdom Through the Lens of Black Culture. This is Caritza, your official pearl bearer, and we're going to pick up where we left off from last episode when we were talking about Black love is Black wealth. I had my special guest on, my husband. He is back with me today. And we're going to just go ahead and get started. So we know we gave you all a lot in the last episode, right? But I felt like we needed to give you that background just to kind of show how relationships and marriages don't just blossom overnight. Sometimes there is work and there's time that goes by, and it's just not always just like heart-filled eyes and bliss all the time, right? Sometimes there's breakups to makeups and that sort of thing. So we wanted to give you some background and kind of begin to talk about how we operate as a couple and some of the key things that we felt are foundational for us, right? And I want to share with you a poem. I want to share with you a quote that I was reading the other day that kind of sums up what we're going to talk about in this episode. So with anything, right, there's always steps or process to get there. And so that's with marriage. And I always look at our marriage as kind of like, and this is probably a bad analogy, but it's kind of like a recipe, right? So like, what are some of the things that we do, or what are some of the key areas that we focus in on to make the Joneses work? What does that look like? And so I saw this quote the other day, and it says, "To truly love, we must learn to mix various ingredients: care, affection, recognition, respect, commitment, and trust, as well as honesty and open communication." That came from Bell Hooks. And that simply was kind of a recipe for love, as a reminder that love is about a mixture of things, and love is unapologetically asking for what you need. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to share with you some tidbits, some pearls about that are the recipe for us and what makes us work and how we've made it this far. And so we're just going to hop right into it. Eli's here with us. Say hello to the people, Eli.
Hello, people.
Right,
<It's> Eli.
Tripping off of him. But anyway, so we're going to go ahead and start it. And I'm actually going to, I did a lot of talk. Of course, he says, this is your podcast, so you're supposed to be the one talking. I'm just a guest. But I told him that I wanted him to dialogue with me. So I'm actually going to him kind of get started with this one and start to share with you some of the key ingredients that he feels like is the recipe for the Joneses. Okay? So, have at it, Eli.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Or thank you, Caritza, for allowing me to be on your podcast today.
Right.
I know we gave you guys a lot of background information last time, and it just appears to be that we are this great couple and this marriage and everything, and we're just going on 5 years, and it might be that we know it all, so we're going to set the record straight to let you know that we do not.
Know it all. At all.
We don't. That was just the background. It was the Love Jones story. And then after the story, you know, it comes the life, the living, that piece of it. So that pretty much got us up to the marriage. Now we want to talk about while we're in the marriage, some of those things. So, I'm big, and this is no certain order, but it's definitely in my top two. I would say communication and finances is my one and two. I would say communications first, but I'm gonna let Caritza kind of get on the communication. I'm gonna talk finance.
So grab your pearls, because you gonna clutch them when he starts talking about finances. I clutch them every time we have a family meet.
So my thing is finances, and it's weird that she just said we have a family meeting. So how many people actually sit down and actually talk about finances, where to the point where you actually have a meeting? We do that in the Jones house. We do that. That's pretty much a once a year thing. As the new year comes in, we look at our finances. We say, how can we better improve this? What is it that we want to pay off? What's our goal for this year? So we look at all of those things. So I, as my kids was growing up, and a lot of times you hear them say, be like the Joneses. I used to tell my kids all the time, we are not those Joneses that they are talking about.
At all.
They are not talking about us at all. We're the dirt road Joneses. We're not concrete. We're not asphalt. We don't have none of that. We're just simply the dirt road Joneses. So we're not trying to keep up with them at all. So for me, I'm going to start off with finances. So I actually have a spreadsheet that I actually use. Now, I know it by heart because I do it. It's in my head. But I actually use this spreadsheet. And even when we was getting ready to get married, I used this spreadsheet. So when we're talking about finances, for me, the number one thing is it's not really how much money you it is where your money is going. Where is your money going? Where are you spending your money? And so for me, I always want to know, can my money add up to 100%? Where's my money going? So finances is very important. And here's the reason why finance is important. Because you can love a person and we're so in love, but I'm pretty sure when you get home, you want running water. You would like electricity.
Yeah.
You would like food. You would like to drive something nice. You would like to live in something nice. And I have not found where love paid for any of that. Now, we know love paid for us when we talk about religion, for God so loved the world that he gave. We know that part of love. But I'm talking about I cannot find where love has paid any bill in my house. Because if it have, I feel like we got a lot of love and we probably wouldn't be living here. We'd be in a mansion on a hill. But we're not. We're on Brentwood Drive.
Right. And that's something that and he says that with all seriousness. But it's funny because that's just something that we both grew up hearing. Right. So like my parents used to always tell me, my mother and father, you can't go down to my dad would say, you better be making sure you pay your bills when I got my first apartment, because you can't go down to Tennessee American Water and tell them that you in love. They're going to say, OK, but your water bill is. And he would give me some amount, right? And I would laugh about that, but that was true. And then my mom would always preach, you know, you don't owe anybody. You pay your bills. You pay your bills. You don't spend frivolously, but you pay your bills. And you be always, you always have your little nest egg. And my grandma would always say, put up your little something. And she would tell, and my cousin, my female cousins can attest to this. She would always say, you put you up something, and you put you up something that maybe you don't even tell your husband about, because you'll never let your right hand know what your left hand doing. Y'all heard that before. Now, I can't really do that. I mean, I probably could. I choose not to do that. But I do save, and I do save in more than one place. But it works well because I married a man who was a saver, too. So he don't mind me saving and not necessarily knowing what was there. He just knows something there if we need it. Or if I needed to be able to take care of myself. So finances are very big, are a very key ingredient in the Jones recipe. A very key ingredient.
True. So the thing is, so before we actually even got married, we talked about finances because we wanted to know what is it that we want to try to accomplish together. So do we want a house? Do we want a car? How are we going to pay for daycare? You know, if we have a child and do this. So we talked about finances first. How much debt? Yes, we talked about debt. How much debt do we actually have? Do you have a plan? Because understand there it is two people who are coming together. So even though technically that may be my debt, once we come together and get married, then our debt is kapow. It becomes both. And so as we got married, that's what we did. We began to work on both sides of paying off different things and doing. So as I previously stated, when we got ready to get married, we put a budget, and of course we probably moved it about 2 or 3 times, and it went up and not down. But there was a ceiling that it was going to hit, and we stopped at that. And my wife would tell you that I was like, okay, this is it right here. Now let's make it work. And that's what she did. So finances is very important, because even though we talk about those other things, communications and different things like that, statistics shows that a lot of people get divorced simply because of finances. Because when bills are not paid, it takes on arguments and different things like that. And then people actually do break up. Now, at the same time, I'm not telling you that finances keep you together, because if that was the case, then rich people would not get divorced. So I'm not saying that. So these are a combination of what we feel like those things. So I would suggest to you, single or married, that you sit down and talk to your partner as it relates to finances, and make sure that you guys are going in the same direction. And if one is better with it than the other, then you allow that person to handle it. This is not the time to deal that I'm the man and I think I ought to do it. Well, if the light's getting cut off, I don't think you ought to do it.
It's not a power struggle. It's about who can get it done the right way and efficient way.
Right. So finances would be that one of those big things for me. And I have shared my spreadsheet with different people. I have it where it calculates. I have it where it adds up, where it deducts, several ways. And people have used it, and they have told me, I do have testimonies. And I'm not doing it for this, because I'm an HR person and don't even want to do finances. But people have told me, I've had where people use my spreadsheet just to see where their money was going, and was allowed to see everything, and have built new houses, and have been able to save for weddings and do different things. But for me, that would be a key. So we talked about that. And then also on the previous recording, you heard me say, trust. I trust Carissa with my money before we ever got married. Therefore, it told me that it was okay. She would not spend it, even if she wanted to or whatever.
So that was a test?
She was kind of asked. You never know. Test can be everywhere. But I can say that I received all of it back, and she did not spend any of it. And she had a credit card, she had a debit card, and would not spend it unless she did ask me. So that would be one of those big nuggets or pearls, as she would say.
Okay. So yeah, as you can tell, that's probably the key ingredient around here. I think he said he's gonna let me talk about communications. So I think that communication is another main ingredient in our marriage and in our relationship. I've said this several times. You heard me say it in the last episode. I probably hear me say it a couple of times here. Eli and I have amazing communication. And I say that not saying that it's perfect all the time. I say that in saying that we're able to talk about any and everything. And even when we aren't quite able to articulate what we're trying to say to one another or express what we're trying to say to one another, we're able to talk about that. I can recall many conversations or disagreements or discussions that we have. And we'll be talking. And if we don't get it, one of us is going to say, well, what are you trying to say? Like, you know, we say that, or if we're trying to explain and then we feel like the other person's not getting it, it's like, well, maybe I'm not expressing myself the right way. Like maybe we're able to even catch ourselves with that and work through those things as well. And I think that's very important, because it's not always what you say, but it's how you say it. And so we're very cautious of that. And sometimes it escalates and we call each other on it. Like, I mean, with me, he'll say, Chris, it's your tone. You know, he quick to tell me, it's your tone, or the way you looking, or, you know, it's your look or your tone. And I have to adjust that, right? Because he's not receptive. He probably won't be as receptive, I should say, at that point, if he doesn't like my tone or the way I'm looking. At the same time, there have been times when I tell him, I mean, Eli, it's just how you said it. It was, you know, it wasn't necessarily what you said. It was how you said it. Or we may disagree, but we're able to articulate that we agree to disagree. And I think that's very big too, in a relationship with anybody, not just a spouse or a partner, but with friends or family or whatever. Sometimes you have to be able to agree to disagree. And one other key takeaway I feel like with our communication style is that we meet each other where we are. So I'm not trying to make Eli be something that he's not. He's not trying, I feel like, to make me something that I'm not. Now, are there areas where we feel like we can grow? Yes. And though we talk about that, we talk about, you know, that's something that I think you need to work on that, or vice versa. He'll tell me, I mean, Chris, you check that, like reevaluate that, vice versa. And we have those conversations, and they're in love. They're in love. It's not in correction. I never have felt like Eli has ever talked to me as if he was trying to be my father, and vice versa. Do you think I talk to you like I'm trying to be your mom?
No, we're not going to allow that.
But we don't talk to each other like that, but we are very straightforward people. So our friends and family can tell you our conversations get very interesting. And I will say this, oftentimes we have conversations. We're careful where we have those conversations. And we have always agreed to be like that. So if we have a disagreement or something's going on in our relationship, we don't take that to our family. We don't take that to our friends. We don't take that to the streets. We deal with that within our home. We've always had that type of understanding, you know, as boyfriend and girlfriend, and as a couple, a married couple. And that's something that Pastor Jordan, when we did our premarital counseling, also touched on with us. I shouldn't say touched on, but discussed at length, honestly, with us about that. You know, what goes on in your marriage is between you and your spouse and God. And when nothing else seems to work, you know, you can't work it out, you all go to God together about that situation. You pray about that sort of thing. And so once again, we're not perfect. Trust me, if you could be a fly on the wall sometimes when we have conversations or discussions or they turn into disagreements or whatever, but we work through them. And I think that's very key, that if you're able to have open, candid, transparent communication and conversation with one another, it will take your relationship far. And I believe that, like I say, in every relationship, people have to be able to own what they do and say and be receptive of how people receive that and be able to go from there. So I really think that communication is key. And like I say, as open and as transparent and as candid as you can be, because he doesn't know what I'm feeling unless I tell him what I feel. I don't know how he feels or what he thinks unless he tells me how he feels or thinks. Now, granted, there are things that we know about each other and we just innately know those things because we've been together for so long. But at the same time, we don't take those things for granted. We don't assume that we know what one another is thinking. I don't. Do you assume
something? No.
Yes, we don't assume that. We try to make sure that we are open and we understand what's going on. So you got finances. Communication.
Yeah, but I need to say something about communication.
Okay.
Okay. So for my male friends out there, whether you're married or not, understand that communication is not always that you understand. You are not going to always understand what they're trying to communicate to you. And that is okay. That's why you are doing what? You're communicating to try to get an understanding, because as we all know, that we communicate totally different than women.
Yes, ma'am.
For example, I can tell you, I told you I had a meeting. Okay? That's what they hear, you had a meeting. I told you I'm going into the office. Okay? Now, for my male friends, you're saying he got a meeting. He going into the office, that's it. But the female, that part of that communications is, but you did not say how long you was going to be in the meeting. You did not say how long you was going to be at the office. Now, for me, I'm going into the office was good enough. But for them, they need a little bit more to go with that.
We just like detail, okay?
Yeah. And so I'm learning that. But the only way to learn that is that she has to say that. And so in this day and time now with the pandemic that's going on and everything, we're spending so much time at home and we are adjusting and we are adapting, and both of us had there are our careers and there's other businesses, and then there's the baby, and there's doctor's appointments, and there's her meeting and my meeting. So right now it's even more prevalent right now to get an understanding of the communications. I fall short probably every week or just about. And so when she tells me, then now I'm able to pretty much say, hey, I'm going into the office. This is pretty much about how long I'm probably going to be. If not, I'll call you and do whatever. Then I might have to ask, now, do you have something? Because sometimes as males, I think we do get caught up in our own schedule. And what happens is we just feel like they should really do most of the adjustment. And so we do sometimes take that for granted. And I'm not saying that I took it for granted, but I can say that sometimes it was just kind of like it was understood that I was going into the office and you would be at home
with the baby. No. I do agree. I think that as women, we are more detailed. And so, the example is like, if I was going to the office, I would say, I'm going to the office and I'll be there between 12 and 2. I should be back by then, but I'm going to stop and get gas and stop at the store and get milk, and I'll be on home. So by 3 o'clock, I should be home. See, I say all of that.
And Eli's going to say, I'll be home in a little bit.
Right. And who knows what that is. But, and that might be sound like an obscure or small example, but that is, you know, that's just a way that we communicate. And so we do have those conversations and then we figure that out. So now we share Google calendars and we do other things so that we know what's going on. And that works for us. And he's right. Like, I don't always get it right either, because sometimes I ask too many questions and he's like, I mean, what is this? Am I being... like, are you interviewing me? Like, what is going on? And so I'm careful of that. And I have to think that through before I begin to just run a dialogue of questions down to him. So, you know, there's often times where we just have to figure out that balance and what that looks like going forward. So,
and also, we're probably taking a little more time at talk about finances and communications, because I do feel like these are probably the top two. But I find myself, or in our communicating, and it may just be Caritza and I, that in communicating, sometimes my wife, I have to say to her that everything is not a right or wrong discussion. Just because we're having this discussion, it's not necessary that I'm having this discussion, because we're trying to get an outcome of right or wrong. Sometimes it is a discussion to let you know. For example, my wife says that I do my ironing backwards, that I iron backwards.
He does.
She says I iron backwards, right? Okay. So when you look at an ironing board, that's a small end. That's a big end. Okay, so just take a pair of jeans. The way I iron is I put the big end of the jeans where the waist at on the big end of the ironing board, which means I don't have to move them and I iron that way. No, my wife said the small end is supposed to go on that end. The big end go down on the small end. I'm saying, well, that's crazy, because I have to move it. If I put it on the big end, the jeans, the waist side on the small end of the ironing board, I have to move the jeans. Where if I do it my way, I don't have to move. She says it's wrong. And I'm like, who says it's wrong?
And so it's not wrong, really. So so in hindsight, it's not wrong. It's the same way like with the toilet seat up, toilet seat down, right? Or the toilet paper facing outward, the toilet paper facing inward. It's all about perception and how people do things. But he's right. When you take two adults and put them in the same household, I mean... sometimes and you feel like, well, that's wrong because that's how you've always been doing it. But in retrospect, it's really not. It's just the way that we do it. But those are times when we are having our discussions and it becomes funny because it's like, and I'll say, well, that's wrong. Or he'll like, it's not wrong. It's just the way I do it. And so then we go back and forth and we end up laughing about it sometimes. And then if we don't laugh about it right at that moment, we end up laughing about it later on in the day. Because I have caught myself sometimes doing what I told Eli was wrong. And then he'll catch me in it. And he'll be like, I thought that was wrong. But that's just a little side note. So what's the next ingredient?
Okay. So for me as a male, the next one would be security, or we may say protection. Because we can put providing into finances. So I remember taking the first things first class, and I was maybe about two or three males in there, full of a lot of females. And when, you know, you talk about marriage, you know, for women, it's like that light bulb that comes on. It's the dress, it's the place, it's the decorations and all that. And so by the time it got to me, you know, I was like, you know, security, you know, protection, like this, you know, it's kind of, this marriage thing is kind of like a scary thing. And so the guy, which was Dr. Rosario Slack, who was teaching the class at that time, he kind of said, well, kind of explain that. I'm like, so I'm used to me taking care of me. And, you know, I have my kids and I take care of my kids, you know, and that's kind of a little different, you know, they're mine. And so I take care of them, but now I'm choosing to be with this other person. And as the head of the house or the provider, whatever, I want to kind of make sure that this is something that I can do, is to be able to, you know, provide and protect and security, because, you know, the Bible's talking about, you know, being willing to die, you know, and I'm like, man, so will I take a bullet for this person? Am I at that point with this person? Not dated some that I probably would not have taken a bullet for, but, you know, if they say who's going to be first, you know, I want to raise my hand and say, you know, hey, let them go and take me first. You know, so it was that scary situation, but it was about being able to protect and the security piece. So I think that will be one of those nuggets, the protector of your home, protector of your family. And that includes in protecting where we're talking about communication and finances and all that, because you do what's in your house is in your house. And finances wise, you want to make sure that you are able, you know, that that person does feel secure. So that would be my next thing, is the security piece.
Okay. I'm going to say another key ingredient for us is, well, since he went male, I'll say as the female, that you are the keeper of the home. Like, you make a house a home. And so I think that one thing for us is that I try really hard to make sure that everything that I do in my home for my husband and our children, that I am being what I know to be the best wife and mother for. So that's in cleaning our home, preparing and our food in our home, holidays. I'm really big on holidays, birthdays, those things. I want people, my family, to know that they are to be celebrated. And like I said, we are a blended family, so we find balance there, because we have our children in two different households, but we try to make sure that they are celebrated. And any and everything that I can do to make our house a home, so that when my husband comes home, that he is, that I'm not adding to whatever may be going on with his day, but that I'm actually helping it or complimenting it or making it better, then I try to do this. So I think oftentimes, even as a working mom and a working wife and an elected official and helping with my grandma, helping my family with my grandmother, or whatever it is that I have to do community-wise, I still try to ensure that I am making sure that my house is a home home. And I've learned that not only from my mom and my stepmother or my aunts or the other women in my life, but my friends' mothers. I just learned that from every woman that was in my life. I've learned to keep house, and that you make your house a home, and that it's loving and that it's welcoming and it's somewhere that's safe for all to abide. So I think that's very important. Don't get so caught up as a working mother or wife that you forget to take care of home. That's really important. And I'm going to go ahead and spin full circle with that, in that another key thing, key ingredient for us is that we make time for one another. So you hear people talking about date nights or dating or continually dating, but we make time for one another. That was one thing that struck me with Eli when we first began to date, that he dated me. He courted me, as all people say. He courted me and we dated. And I have an auntie in love, and I call her the GOAT. She is the greatest of all times. But Aunt Freddie, I remember being at another one of Eli's family members' bridal shower, and she was sharing a piece of advice. And she told the young lady, she gave her two pieces of advice. And she said, so whatever you do in the beginning of your marriage, you'll be able to do for as long as you're married to them. And so what she said was, you start out like you can hold out. So you don't do anything in the first day of marriage that you're not willing to do 50 years later. And at this point, she had been married 50 years. And then she stated, always make time for one another. Always have a date night. And she expressed to us that she and her husband, Uncle Jerry, was no longer with us, that they always had a date night. And they were the cutest couple. They were the cutest couple. He'd open the doors for her. He'd pull back the chairs for her. He drove her everywhere she had to go. I mean, he catered to her. They were in love to the very end. And I have an aunt and uncle like that, James and Hazel Bowles. They court each other even now, 50 something years later, probably close to 60 years later. They court each other. And so that is something that we try to make time to do. So we remember the smallest little details sometimes and celebrate them. Eli always gives me something on 777, a card, flowers. He always gives me something on the anniversary date of the day that we met. So just little small things like that. But then we do make time for each other, whether it's a show that we sit down and watch together. And I can get him caught up in the raunchiness of reality TV, and I have.
Yes.
The Love and Hip Hop, the Real House of Atlanta, Love and Marriage Huntsville. I mean, yeah, I get him caught up in all of that. But then we watch other shows together. We are very big into politics and the news, so we sit and watch the news together. Just in whatever we can do, we do that. We recently are beginning to start a devotional together. So we just find things that we can do. So we make time for one another there. We check in with one another, and we didn't start out doing that. That was something that we probably had a disagreement or a discussion, passionate piece of communication about. But we check in with one another, and it's not like you're checking in. And that's kind of where the discussion came from today. I wasn't asking him to check in. I just felt like we needed to check in on one another to see how we were doing and going with that. And so we do that. That's a way that we make time for one another. We touch base every evening. And we sit down on the couch in the den, and we talk about whatever happened today. May do it in midday, but we touch base to kind of check on one another, because not only we did this prior to the pandemic, but with the pandemic, there's so much going on. We have to make sure that we're doing self-care and couple care. So we do check in with one another, and we do, we did have date night, and we try to do that in our home. It's kind of hard with a 19-month-old who crawls in between you, and, you know, he wants to take over the remote, and we end up watching Masha and the Bear or Puppy Dog Pals instead of what we were going to watch. But we make time for one another. And so what we've done since the pandemic is we just do it with our son. We include him in with that. But prior to that, we would have date nights. We go for dinner, or we don't do movies a lot. Eli's not a movie person. He will do it for me. But we find ways and things we can do, concerts or venues, that such those types of things, events where we make time for one another. And I think that is very key, because yes, of course you love this person. You're with them, right? And you have compassion for them, and you want to do all these other things for them. And of course you're handling your finances, and of course you're handling your communication. But if you don't make time for one another, and you don't remember the reason why you fell in love, what was it about he or she that made you fall in love? Or you don't keep that fire, that fire burning, or you don't rekindle it from time to time, what are you doing? You're just having a roommate, right? I did not spend money and get married and sign my name on a dotted line on a license with Eli to have a roommate. I could have had a roommate. I could stay at home. My mom had a roommate. That's where I was before we got married. I'm about the home. So I didn't do that. And I want to really encourage you all. I know this was very lengthy and it probably seemed really detailed, but I did want to encourage you all to do those things. Eli, you got any other?
I would like to bring up one more, and that's just being supportive. And the reason why I would like to bring that up is that sometimes for males, if they're not in the spotlight and their wife is, sometimes that can cause issues and problems. So I'm going to let you males know that it is okay to support your wife and not be jealous of your wife, depending on whatever spotlight that she's in. So you heard me say, or you guys already know that she is on the school board. And so there may be different relationships outside of here. You know, the city mayor loves Carissa. I see him. He always asks about her. He see her, they talk, he can call her a state representative, somebody can call her. What we would put in the category of those important people or people who hold certain or important offices, where there are some males that tend to be jealous of maybe the spotlight that their wife is in. But you have to understand that they may be out here pushing her, supporting her, but I can tell you that there's no one else that is pushing her more than myself, because I do not carry that piece of being jealous. I don't do that. So I may be behind the scenes of working or doing, but rest assured, I am working probably just as hard, whether it's physically or we're discussing an issue that may be talked about or anything like that. But that's very important. But understand at the end of the day, it helps you as well. So whatever heights that your spouse may go to, understand you guys are a couple. You guys are two who has become one. And so that increase in her life is an increase in your life as well. She just may be the person who's out there on the front, but still understand on the front that you still have to cover her back as well. And so you're there to be able to do that. So, you know, I just want to say that I support her, whether it's her business venue, and we just took on another one, Sign Gypsy of Chattanooga. A lot of that is at nighttime, and I think I quit every time we go put a sign up. I say, I'm giving you my 2 weeks notice. This is second shift, and I don't like working second shift.
But he goes, and I think he goes because going back to him being a protector and the security piece, it's a night. So I do have a side hustle I have, and I've been working it, and I wanted to do it. I asked him about it, and he pushed me to invest in myself, and I did. But he goes with me. So he's right. He quits on me every night because we have to do them late at night, put the signs up late at night. But he goes, if nothing more, I feel like that he goes to make sure that I'm safe and protected, because I'm going into various parts of the city, and you don't know where you don't know the neighborhoods that you go in sometimes. And he goes and he gets out and he gets out and he does that with me. But that's also us making, you know, we're spending time with one another, and he helps me perfect the gift. He perfects it, and we have fun with it. I will say this, though. He is so true, so correct in what he said about the support. Eli is my biggest supporter. That's when I honestly felt like I knew that Eli was supposed to be my husband, was how he supported me in running for school board. Other than my father and my brothers and my uncles, the males in my life, my cousins, I never had a man to push me and support me to do what I was about to embark upon the way that Eli did, without any reservation, without any piece of jealousy in his, there wasn't a jealous bone in his body, has not been, but with all the compassion and the perseverance and the strength he poured it into me and encouraged me. And that just really spoke volumes to me, because there are some men that do exactly what Eli does, but like you said, there are some men that struggle with that. And so that really stuck out to me. And I would tell women to support your man. And we do that anyway. We always say that, support your man. But I will tell people all the time, we are movements individually, but individually we are movements, but we are a force together. And I can attest to that. We were planning our wedding. We had so many challenges and obstacles to come within our family. And I just kept telling my mom, I just cannot wait to see what God has in store for us as a couple, because it seemed like the devil was trying to come on every end to tear us down before we could even make it there. And since we have become husband and wife, we have seen a lot of tragedies, but we have seen a lot of triumphs. And I do believe, like I said earlier, that 2021 will be even greater for us in this fifth year milestone as a married couple. And so I did want to take this time in February, the month of love, to talk about those things. And I want to share with you really quickly the takeaway that I'm going to share with you to take away today. The pearl that I want to give you today is that we're going to, when we got married, there was a poem that I had recited before I entered the church sanctuary, and I want to share that with you all, because it really spoke to me. And I heard it as a teenager, and it just, actually, when I was planning my wedding program, I decided to pull that back out, because I really found value in the poem. And in lieu that it is not only the month of love and Valentine's Day, it's also Black History Month. And so this poem is by Dr. Maya Angelou, and it's called Touched by an Angel. And it says, "We, unaccustomed to courage, exiles from delight, live coiled in shells of loneliness until love leaves its high holy temple and comes into our sight to liberate us into life. Love arrives, and in its train comes ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet, if we are bold, love strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from our timidity in the flush of love's light. We dare be brave, and suddenly we see that love costs all we are and will ever be. Yet it is only love which sets us free." And so I wanted to share that with you, because that's how I felt. I felt that really portrayed my relationship to that point with Eli. And I still feel like it portrays that, because when I realized that I was in love with him, it brings up your past. It brings back history. It brings up pains and joys. All of that comes with that. But I realized that it was the love that I had found with him and in him that had set me free. And so I was free to love without all the conditions. And I do love my husband, not only as a love of a husband and wife, but I do love him unconditionally. I think that's very important that wives and husbands do that you love your spouse unconditionally, because no one is perfect. And just as they choose to love you as you are, you have to choose to love them as they are. So I encourage you all to take that away from you and allow love to set you free. And so with that being said, we would like to say love, and continue to love, and wish you a happy Valentine's Day. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Pearls of Blackness, Pearls of Wisdom Through the Lens of Black Culture. This is Carissa Mosley Jones, and I'll see you next time. Be blessed.
Amplify is a podcast network made up of people of color and operating out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Amplify is a project of Rise Chattanooga, a minority-based cultural arts nonprofit organization focused on community education, performance, and arts and cultural preservation. You can find all of the podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and risecha.org. Thank you so much for listening.